Chapter 15, From Darkness to Light. As the decades and centuries rolled by, Jonathan lost all track of time. He could not tell if he had been in the kingdom 1,000 years or 10,000 years. Time was not an issue, and his heavenly body was not subject to decay because he would never grow old. He knew that the gifts of God had given him would continually grow, his work would flourish, and that his love would increase as God revealed more and more of himself to him. Jonathan knew his life would be like a drink offering that was poured out, and that love would overflow to the king and the heirs of the kingdom. One day, the Lord sent Jonathan on a journey to the far west side of the kingdom. He was going to a particular house on Straight Street, where he was going to help a man named Cornelius, who was hosting a banquet. He was the same Cornelius mentioned in the book of Acts. He once lived in Caesarea, where he was a centurion in the Italian regiment in the Old World. Jonathan was quite excited to meet one of the first Gentiles to come to Christ. He was looking forward to hearing his story in greater detail. He finally reached Straight Street, found the house, and knocked upon the door. Jonathan heard the footsteps as they were approaching the door. As it opened, he got a good look at this famous man from biblical times. His round face beamed with joy as he reached out and grabbed Jonathan's hands and said, "Oh, Jonathan, I heard so much about you from the Lord. I am very excited that you are here to help me serve the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords at this special banquet." He was taken aback. It was he that was excited to see him. The man who stood in front of him was led to faith by the Apostle Peter. He was known in the Old World as a devout and God-fearing man who was generous to those in need, and he prayed to God regularly. It was amazing to Jonathan that he was even known by him. Jonathan always considered himself just a regular Christian man who was slack in his duties, weak in prayer, had not led a single person to Christ, and never did anything really great for the Lord in his earthly life. He did not dwell on his shortcomings or sin, though. He knew he could not go back and change anything, and even if he could, he would most likely be the same man that he was. He knew he was accepted in the Beloved, and that he was highly favored by the Lord, for the Great Shepherd loved all his sheep with an eternal and enduring love that could never be exhausted or extinguished. Cornelius said, "Come in and make yourself at home. We have plenty of time. Let's talk for a while." As Jonathan entered the house, he noticed it had a Mediterranean design and was immediately captured by its beauty. The walls had a rough white texture with gold circular swirls for a pattern. Cornelius led Jonathan through this magnificent house with its beautiful furniture and large carved arched doorways. They walked out onto an awesome teardrop-shaped deck that overlooked a huge harbor. The deck was oval in shape and was about 150 feet wide by 100 feet deep. It was made out of various colored shapes of marble and onyx, displaying a royal medallion seal. Off the main deck were 6 other smaller decks, about half the size, and they stepped down and arched their way right up to the water's edge. Cornelius walked over to a table that had a couple of chairs set up facing the harbor and invited Jonathan to sit down with him. He then turned and said, "I love hearing stories of how our Lord has worked in the lives of his people. Tell me, how did you come to know the Lord?" Jonathan felt like saying to him, "I really want to hear your story." However, his face showed such an eagerness and determination that it forced Jonathan to look back at his own earthly life and contemplate where to begin the story. Finally, he said, I guess I have to start at the beginning, before I knew Christ. Then you can see how he met all my needs and filled what was lacking in my life. He made it easy for me to commit my life to him. He had made the soil of my heart ready and planted the seed of faith and love from the very beginning. From my teen years on, I felt a great void in my life. I knew something was missing, but I couldn't put my finger on it. I lived my life from one high point to the next. I said to myself, my life will be great and I will be happy when I finish school, when I get the perfect job, when I have a girlfriend, when I get married, and all the other good things people chase after in that old world to fill the emptiness that is in their hearts. My heart was empty and I lived a life like a ship on the ocean without a compass, blown by the wind with no clear direction. One of the best things the Lord put in my life before I was saved was a woman named Elizabeth Manning. We were together a year or two, and then we got married. I assumed at that point that she could meet all my needs and satisfy the deep longings of my heart. She was a wonderful wife, but I was still the same man I was before I got married. My life was still empty, and my heart was still unsatisfied. She could not fill what the Lord left lacking. When I discovered that nothing had changed in my life and the void still remained, I began to wonder if I married the wrong woman. Maybe she wasn't the one meant for me. Life didn't make sense. I loved her, but yet I still felt empty. I believed that once I was married, my life would be fulfilled and I would be satisfied. That's what I thought marriage would bring into my life. As you know, the problem wasn't Elizabeth, but me. I never realized that I was the problem until Christ Jesus filled what was lacking in my life. I actually expected her to meet all my needs, mend a broken heart and a crushed spirit. That's an impossible task for any wife to fill. After I came to faith, she became my heart's desire. I actually grew to love her more and more as the years flew by. I delighted to be with her, and I wanted to spend as much time together as possible. I cherished our times alone, and I loved when we would go out and get away together by ourselves. Every night when I went to bed, I held her close, or she held me, and I would think to myself, I could lay here with her forever. I believe God did this for both of us. He made our marriage blossom and kept out the sin that could have so easily entangled it. Jonathan, said Cornelius, is Elizabeth here? Is she one of the redeemed? Jonathan's face lit right up as he said, she is here, and I am near her always. God did not break up our marriage, but he fulfilled it. God has made our relationship even better and more fulfilling. We are much more than husband and wife. God did not take her out of my life, for in his perfect wisdom, he has completed the union he had joined together. I still love her, my children, and all those who were close to my heart very deeply. Our relationship continues to grow and develop, for God did not destroy marriage, but gave us something even better, eternity with the ones we love. I had two children in the old world, a boy named Ben and a girl named Sarah. They are here also, and it's a joy to spend time with them. Praise God, he didn't take those we loved and separated us from them, but instead he made those same relationships blossom even brighter. I can't wait to meet. Cornelius' words were interrupted by some voices behind them. As they turned, Jonathan saw his earthly family walk through the arched doorway. Jonathan turned to Cornelius and said, You are about to meet my family now. Cornelius stood up and invited them to sit down with them and said, Welcome! It is amazing how our God can answer the prayers that are still upon our lips. I was just telling Jonathan that I could not wait to meet you, and well, now here you are! After everyone introduced themselves, Elizabeth was moved to read a psalm. After the psalm was read, someone started singing a hymn. And then another spiritual song followed. They found themselves singing and making music in their hearts to the Lord. After they were finished singing, Jonathan said, Cornelius wanted to hear my testimony, and I was just at the beginning of it. He then turned to Cornelius and said, Would you like me to finish it now? Cornelius said with an excited smile, Yes, let's continue. Jonathan turned to his family. You have heard my testimony about 1,000 times. Are you sure you want to sit through it again? All three of them said, No! And then everyone laughed. Cornelius said to the others, Why don't you go get things ready and Jonathan can finish his story? They all agreed and went to whatever their duties called them. Jonathan knew he would tell the same story many more times as he met new brothers and sisters. He would never get sick of telling his story, and he would never get sick of hearing their stories either.